Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of 3GT, where three guys get together and theologize, talk about the issues of the day, and try to give a general Christian perspective to many topics, kind of like Kyle does on his The Daily Scoop. You can go and listen to his podcast each and every morning. It's posted about 9:30 a.m., but I digress.
DailyScoopNews.com. Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe. Shameless self-promotion. Thank you, Scott.
Oh, Kyle, I don't know that there's any other kind of promotion from you than the shameless self-promotion. How are you guys doing today?
Except that. I'm doing great.
Barry, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
You know, it's October, and you know what that means.
It's 1 month away from election.
That's right. But most people, if you go out and watch sporting events during the month of October, you see all these guys sporting pink stuff for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And most people associate October with breast cancer awareness. I don't know if I don't watch the NFL. I don't watch that at all. I don't care about football, but I think they wear pink during the month of October. Did you guys know that? Real men wear pink in support of breast cancer awareness.
I actually wasn't aware of that. And if I'm allowed to admit it, I did not know that most people associate October with breast cancer awareness month. I figured the month of October was associated with Halloween.
What's Halloween? Yeah, never.
I don't know. There's a blog post on Gentle Reformation that can be read. Small town Halloween.
Well, we can talk about that later, maybe. But did you guys know that October is actually a celebration of something completely different? And it's not celebrated by putting balloons on dogs or anything like that, or any other costumes that you may want to dress your children or your animals in. But October is actually Pastor Appreciation Month. Did you guys know that?
Yay!
I see it pop up on social media every year, so that's how I know.
Me too.
To be honest with you guys, I did not know until recently that this was Pastor Appreciation Month. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about from a pastor's perspective, because Barry, I know you're the president, but you are still a pastor. Your email is still Pastor York. Kyle, I know that you pretend to be a pastor.
Thank you.
In Winchester, Kansas.
Wow. I feel the appreciation just flowing.
Well, we do appreciate you guys. So I just thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about Pastor Appreciation Month since we are in the month of October. So the first thing I wanted to know, a lot of lay people can point to pastors that have been really influential in their life or somebody they've looked up to, learned a lot from. As pastors, do you guys have that man or those men in your life that have really been instrumental in shaping you as a pastor and the pastor that you are?
Yes.
Okay. And would you care to elaborate on that, Barry?
Yeah.
I expected that from Kyle, not you.
Oh, I did that a podcast episode two ago and you gave me some grief, so I thought I'd try it again. No, I've been very thankful for the men that the Lord has used in my life to pastor me. And I've mentioned before Dave Long, who was a lifelong mentor and pastor to me. And of course, he passed away a few years ago, but he continued to pastor me all through my church planting and pastoral ministry, and even to my moving out here to serve at the seminary until he passed away a few years ago. I've had other men that I really have appreciated over the years that have mentored me. Ken Smith was a pastor, my pastor, when I was actually in seminary for 3 years. And he actually still continues to give me words of encouragement and prayer and counsel. Ted Donnelly is another man the Lord's used in my life. Jerry O'Neill, the men I served with at the seminary as professors also give me a lot of good pastoral counsel. So a lot of input in my life. I can mention other names.
What about you, Kyle?
I me as well. You know, when I was in high school, I grew up in a broadly evangelical church. I had a youth pastor who actually was very influential in my life, primarily not just because, so I think as a young person in the church, sometimes the message that is communicated is, yep, the kids in the church are important. Let somebody else deal with them. And our church hired a youth pastor who really, really invested in our lives. And in many ways throughout my high school years was actually one of my best friends. And so, for instance, every Friday night, my brother and my other friends and I, we'd be over at his house with him and his wife. We'd play Risk every Friday night. And his wife would always bring us junk food from the kitchen. And I think that was very formative to me. That was very pivotal in my life to have this youth pastor who was extremely invested in our lives, wanted to know who we were, valued us for who we were, didn't just treat us as projects, but related to us in a friendship way. And especially he and his wife were very influential at a period in my life. I think we've talked about it a little bit before on a previous episode, but I went through a season of life of living in open rebellion. And I remember coming home from college after 3.5 years of kind of living any way that I wanted. And they invited me over. And it was late one night. They had put their kids to bed. And we were sitting there on the couch in their living room. And they said, you know, how are you doing? And I gave them some fabricated answer about how life is great, blah, blah, blah. And in a turn of events, my youth pastor looked at me and he just said, you know, what I really want to know is how are things going between you and Jesus? And I learned there just the pastoral love of a firm, and yet at the same time, if they can coexist, and they can because they're both biblical, a gentle rebuke and admonishment. And he spent the next several hours kind of picking my life apart and asking me, you know, as a Christian, why on earth are you living and doing the things that you are doing? And that was actually a very pivotal moment, in my life. And sad to say that as the years have gone by, I've lost touch with him. He's a pastor in the Evangelical Free Church now, ministering in Wisconsin. And maybe once a year we exchange an email, but definitely during some formative years, he was very influential in my life. I think too of the seminary professors. I did not go to the esteemed Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. I trust that on any debate that ever arises on the floor of Synod, Barry can just stand up and remind everybody that Kyle went to the other seminary. But in our seminary,
P and the R backwards.
Yeah, that's right. I went to Puritan Reform. So in our seminary, you know, our professors were all pastors as well. And a number of them invested a lot of hours in me. So I think especially of David Murray and Bill Van Dodeward, two men that I think both of them have been interviewed on our podcast.
Yes, they have.
And both of them have been very instrumental throughout my seminary years in helping me get a pastor's heart. And Joel Beakey as well, who is the president of Puritan Seminary. And he has had a big influence on me too. And so I've appreciated those.
Good.
I find it interesting that I think if I'm counting correctly, this will be our 200th episode. And I think our 100th episode is when Kyle, you had your brother on and you told the story of that time in your life. Just a little fun fact on 3GT.
He was so embarrassed after that interview. Oh, I should have said things differently. He replayed it 1,000 times in his head. I told him to get over it. It was pretty bad, but you know.
But no worse than Scott. That's probably what you
said. That's right.
Right?
It's never
worse. Scott deals with this every week.
He did a great
job.
Now
you know his shame.
Oh, hey, so I want to ask you this. When you guys were called to the ministry, and I imagine it happened at different points in your life, what was the role that your pastor played in I guess, nurturing that call and developing that call?
You know, that's a great question, because I had a bit of what I would call a not ordinary experience. So I came into a Presbyterian church in 2005. And almost immediately, I already had an interest in the ministry, and the pastor of that church and his wife invested a lot of time in me and Rachel. And then about 6 months after I really started, they were encouraging me to prepare for seminary, he committed adultery and abandoned his family, his wife of 26 years and their two daughters, was excommunicated from the church. And here we were left, I was this student in training, and I was left in a church without a pastor. And that pretty much carried over until almost the time we ended up leaving for seminary. And I would actually say in that season, it was a ruling elder who was most influential in my life. He met with me often to just talk through things, talk about theology, do Bible studies, talk about life, see how things were going. And I really, really valued him, and he did a lot to help prepare me. Then when I got to seminary, in a weird, strange series of events, I ended up doing pulpit supply for 2.5 years in a congregation without a pastor. And again, our presbytery, had an interim moderator, is what they're called, who met with me, James Ferris, and was helpful. But James lived 3 hours away. And, you know, the ability to really get to know each other well wasn't there. And again, it was some ruling elders who really helped me there. But even those ruling elders actually asked the seminary, could one of the professors kind of take Kyle under their wing as a pastor and help him in these formative years? So
for me, I was a graduate student at Purdue University in mathematics, and was starting to teach and get involved in the church some. And for a period of about 10 months, there was just this tug on my heart about whether I should be a pastor or not. And I spoke pretty regularly about it with Dave Long. And I remember that he would pretty regularly say, he didn't put a lot of pressure on me. He encouraged me, but he didn't put pressure on me. And he just said, if the Lord's calling you, he will make it clear. And you will hear it internally strongly from him. And I've always looked back and appreciated that he didn't rush me, push me. And I just remember, it was in October of 1986 that just one night as I was going over some scripture. There you go. I was reviewing scripture, and the Lord just used some scriptures to really put that desire and heart to serve as a pastor if it was confirmed by the church. And then I went to the elders pretty much that week, and they encouraged me and then set up an internship for me that I could do under Dave that just helped further confirm this direction before I went off to seminary. So that was briefly my story.
I mean, it sounds to me like there were men used in your life to develop this call in you. And do you see your ministry today as kind of, obviously you do it for the Lord, but kind of a show of appreciation to what these men have done for you? Mm-hmm. I mean, would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, I was just teaching a class on pastoral ministry and just telling the guys that in essence, the gospel truths that have been imparted to us, they're like a baton that's been handed to us. I actually have a literal baton on my office desk from the previous president, so just as a reminder of this with RPTS on it. But I told the students that in this generation, this is your generation to run this race and to carry forward the gospel truth and to make sure that you're taking it and imparting that knowledge to the others that you serve, and particularly finding other men around you that you will ultimately influence into pastoral ministry by God's grace.
You know, one of the things that I guess when you try to appreciate somebody or show somebody your appreciation, it's good to know what all goes in to a day in their life. I mean, to fully appreciate somebody, the saying is, you know, you have to walk a mile in their shoes. Do you mind? I guess this question is more for you, Kyle, because you are now actively a pastor full time. That is your ministry. But, and I know, Barry, you served in that capacity for 2 decades, but can you just tell our listeners what it's like, just kind of what your daily life is like? Cause it's, you do more than just show up on Sunday and preach. And well, I just don't think that
he just podcasts all the time.
Well, I mean, we're going on 3.
But I mean, there's so much I'm sure that goes into your life that the typical person does not appreciate as they should or would if they knew. So can you tell the listeners a little bit of what that's like, what your life is like?
I wake up at 6 a.m. and meander to my office in my pajamas, and my wife brings me coffee, the advantage of working from home. So I usually I do get out of bed about 6 a.m. and I come into my study and I do have my coffee. And, you know, for my schedule, it kind of depends on the day. So Tuesdays, I try to make fairly heavy on sermon prep. So I do morning and evening worship every Lord's Day. And if I can get my sermons basically outlined on Tuesday, I consider that to be really decent progress. And so Tuesdays, I try to keep, well, Mondays, I try to take Mondays off. So I know a lot of pastors do that with more or less success, probably less success than I want to. I try to take that time off. Tuesdays will be heavy on sermon preparation time. Like I said, trying to outline, trying to go through different resources, think through a text and a passage. And, you know, what you do with that, who you read, what you study, just for me, differs from sermon to sermon. So there are texts where I feel like it just comes really easy. And it's like, I might cross-reference a couple of commentaries at the end of it all. There are others where I need commentaries or other things to get my gears going. And so I try to do that. And then, you know, throughout the rest of the week, there's all kinds of things that still need to be done. My wife will always laugh because no matter, even though I try to spend Tuesdays with the sermon, basically until those sermons are preached, it's all I'm thinking about. So it's always on my mind. I'm always running through things. On top of that, there's other things that need preparation. So I teach adult and high school Sunday school in our church right now. And so that lesson needs to be put together and figure out where we're going to go with that. I also lead every Sunday night our congregation before evening worship has essentially a youth group, and I'm in charge of that. And so trying to come up with the lesson plan for that, the activity that we're going to do, that has to fall into that time as well. Plus, there's issues within the congregation that need to be dealt with. There's emails, people asking questions. You know, I woke up this morning and the first thing, I had 3 emails from people in the church just asking questions. You know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And so trying to get back to them in a timely manner and responding to them. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly an email can take up a decent portion of your day when you're trying to answer some questions. On top of that, there's phone calls to be made. So I try to keep in touch. If people aren't in church, I try to schedule a time to just give them a call. Hey, how are you doing? What's going on with your week here? There's administrative stuff that in smaller churches, inevitably, right, wrong, good, bad, fall on the shoulders of the pastor often. And so just paperwork, little things here and there that need to be sorted out and dealt with. Also, because we're Presbyterian, you know, pastors often serve on committees and boards and have Presbytery meetings. And especially in this season, I try to at least for probably a full day each week, I have to put on my board or committee hat. So I'm the chairman of the Candidates and Credentials Committee for our Presbytery. And so I've got to get that all aligned. We've got a Presbytery meeting coming up and I've got to make sure all the students are getting examined, you know, make sure that their schedules are all falling into place. Find pastors, elders who are willing to give them exams, write reports. I'm also going to be the president of our education and publication board. And so there's budgets that need to be looked at. There's reports there that need to be written, agendas that need to be sent out, communications, just keeping. And so actually that ends up taking, like I said, at certain times of the year, that kind of ebbs and flows. Right now, I feel very committee driven as I'm getting all of that stuff ready. And then, of course, on top of all of that is visitation. And I think I've told you before, John Tweed, I probably should have mentioned his name earlier, a pastor that was very influential with me. John Pastor was like the visiting pastor. And so he was the interim pastor here before I came, and he set a wonderful pattern of a visitation, but who's sufficient to fill his shoes. But in a given year, I used to keep track of all of my visits. I don't anymore. But just to give throw a number out there, I think it was a couple of years ago, I did 273 pastoral visits in a year. And so, you know, when you add all those up, those are equaling quite a few each week of stopping in and seeing people and just trying to be present in their lives. And of course, just meetings, people need to meet with you, you know, which is wonderful. This week, I've had three people who have needed to meet with me. They come and we talk, and I don't really put a time frame on that, just however it goes. So there's all kinds of work that goes on behind the scenes. Yes, the bare share of a pastor's responsibility is preaching, but there's all kinds of work that fills our days. So
that's incredible. It sounds like your days are really full, and you didn't even mention there the responsibilities and duties you have as a father and a husband.
What?
So
what are you? What?
Yeah, Kyle, you didn't even talk about your family.
It is
not husband or father appreciation month. It is clergy appreciation.
And
well, yeah, how come you only get a day for Father's Day, but a whole month for being a pastor? I kind of want to talk about.
Yeah, how's that work? You know, I
whole month
with a busy schedule like that. Quick shout out. I'm really thankful for a manse and that I actually get to work at home, because it does put me into the vicinity of my children more than if I had to go to a church office. So. There's advantage.
So Barry, you heard everything Kyle said about his schedule. And, you know, when you were a pastor, I know you were quite busy. You taught some classes at college for a while. You did some other things. What was your, could you just describe what your life was like as a pastor?
Well, I think it would be similar to Kyle's. Lots of, you know, I had an emphasis on teaching and preaching. So a lot of time devoted to preparation for sermons or classes. I did teach for a time at the local university for outreach purposes. I taught math there for a time and was involved in a ministry there on campus. But a lot of time devoted to that. So there was a lot of hosting and times of discipleship and counsel. So I did take Saturdays off primarily. I use Monday as usually a lighter administrative day and reading kind of day. But since my family took Saturdays off from school, I took Saturdays off as I could. Of course, you always have, as Kyle's mentioning here, being Presbyterian means that you're connected beyond just your responsibilities to a local church. So usually most ministers are also serving on presbytery committees. I know, Scott, you do a lot of that as a ruling elder and are serving on another session for your presbytery. So ruling elders do that as well. There can be synod responsibilities, as Kyle's mentioned, and other matters. So there's always plenty of work to do, it seems, in the kingdom of God. And it isn't just, you know, we like to joke that, you know, we just worked 2 hours on Sunday and have the rest of the week to ourselves, but there's a lot of work. One of the things that pastors can be particularly prone to, a lot of men, because their job can be where they have to self-regulate, a lot of vocations where that's the case, they can suffer from depression and discouragement. So I think having a schedule is really important for pastors, and we teach that at RPTS, that you really need to have patterned out what your week's going to look like so that you're being productive and really working at being available in service to people. But also, as you've alluded to, we do have families. And so protecting them from, there's times where you just have to really protect your schedule so that you're giving due time to your family as well.
Kyle, did you take notes on that? I know you didn't go to the RP seminary. So I just want to make sure you got good notes on what a pastor should be doing.
I love it. That's great.
I'm joking. I know. It's just amazing to me, you know, all that goes into the life of the church and all, you know, pastors, bear a lot of that responsibility for right or wrong. I know ruling elders are there to help, and we do what we can, but you know, you pastors really shoulder a lot of that responsibility. And so I want to ask you, in your ministries and your time as being a pastor, Barry, what are some ways that people have encouraged you, shown their appreciation to you, whether they knew it or not? I mean, what are some of the ways that you've been blessed by the Lord through your congregation or others in the church?
Well, I make a little fun about having a whole month as Pastor Appreciation Month, and sometimes I view these things as just another way for Hallmark to sell cards. And
it probably is.
I just heard like this past week or so that there's now a daughter's day and a son's day. And I'm like, come on, that's called birthday or Christmas or whatever. They get days all the time. We don't need a special day devoted to that. But joking aside, I actually was blessed by our congregation a couple of different times. In October on Pastor Appreciation Day, I remember one time I thought we were just going to a gathering, a social gathering that month, a picnic kind of situation. And lo and behold, the congregation honored us and gave us cards and a gift, a trip actually away for my wife and I. So that was very, very nice. And so there have been actual times where the congregation's given a gift. And I do think for churches to find ways to express appreciation for their pastors, I'm a little hesitant about all this because at the end of the day, the pastor needs to remember that he's ultimately a servant and a shepherd of God's people. And a lot of people in our churches don't get special months devoted to their is there a lawyer appreciation day? Doubt it.
Oh, no. Nobody appreciates lawyers. Nobody does. So I don't appreciate lawyers.
So I think we have to be a little careful. Obviously, as a pastor, you should be looking for this. But it is a nice gesture, and you feel loved when the church shows you these extra measures of appreciation.
Yeah, just to echo Barry, you know, it could easily sound self-serving. And I think the reality is the eldership and the pastorate is by its very definition, a work that you exhaust yourself in. You know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 5 writes that when he says that you are to respect those who labor among you. The word labor there means to work to the point of exhaustion and fatigue. Like it really does come with it. It's our joyful burden. And so we don't do it for the applause. We don't do it for a pastor's appreciation month. And I think personally, and I don't mean this to just be this cheap point of piety, but I do think there is so much to be said for the greatest way for a congregation to show appreciation is to profit and to grow from our ministry. That's why we exhaust ourselves. You know, you can think of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians where, you know, I am in birth pangs to see you devoted to Jesus Christ. Again, you think of Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Like the best appreciation to show so much more than anything else is a pure devotion to Jesus. And it's tremendously encouraging as a pastor. The greatest compliment anybody could ever make about a message that you preach is, you made me see and value Jesus more as a result of that. That sounds cliche, and I don't mean it that way. That makes all the labor worth it. And I think it's so important.
I really agree with that. And I always say, you know, if someone comes up to me after a message and says, good message, pastors, you know, great, that's fine. I don't mind receiving that, but looking for the fruit of your ministry of the word. And sometimes I got tickled when I would hear somebody in the church say, I don't know where I heard this, but then share a lesson and talk about how they're growing. And I'm sitting there thinking, I preached that. That's where you heard that. But it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You're just thankful to see people growing in the Lord. And that's what really gives you the joy as a pastor, as it's going to be true for all of God's people. But here thinking about a pastoral ministry, what we want to hear one day from the Lord is, you know, not well done, good and successful pastor or rich pastor, or anything like that. We want to be hear that we were faithful. And so a congregation showing appreciation to the faithful labors of a minister by responding to his preaching, responding to his leadership, that's what really makes your heart joyful.
And that's not to minimize, you know, I've been so blessed by people in my congregation writing notes of encouragement, which mm-hmm. I actually say I tuck away in books, and someday I'll open the book again and be like, oh, there, you know, there are specific people in my congregation who have ministered to me so much through words of encouragement. My congregation has been so kind in gifts that have been given. And, you know, and even those gifts, knowing that they're born out of love. And mm-hmm. and I really, they are. So I don't want to minimize that. Those are so appreciated, and you feel so valued and loved when people think of you in those ways. Scott, if you want to appreciate me, the best way you could do it is cold hard cash. Just mail it to P.O. Box 181. That's just for Scott. That's nobody for nobody else.
Well, I was going to make that.
Nobody else, just Scott. Just Scott.
I'll write you a check, all right. Don't cash it. We'll both get in trouble if you do. No. It's been good to hear not only what you do and all that you do for the sake of the church as pastors. It's good to hear how people have encouraged you and how to encourage you. I would say that, you know, faithful living, learning and growing in the Lord from your sermons is certainly a demonstrable way to show our appreciation to our pastors. But it goes, we can do so much more, I think, to show that our pastors are appreciated. And I think notes of thanks or thoughtfulness, prayers for your pastor.
Yes, prayers. When I have people come up and tell me that I've had people say they pray for me daily, that just overwhelms my heart with thankfulness. Yeah. On the wall behind me here in my home study is a little crocheted piece that Lois Long did for me, a dear saint that's now with the Lord. But for years, every time she saw me, and I know she did this for other ministers as well, but she just would just express appreciation. She just had that gift of encouragement, enthusiasm when she saw you, and she'd express her love for you. She'd tell you that she's been praying for you. Sometimes she'd write the notes. And when God puts those people in your life, you're just so thankful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, we are all about out of time. I just wanted to end this episode with just a word of thank you to both of you for being the pastors that you are. And I wanted to encourage our listeners to take some time this month to go the extra mile and show your pastor some appreciation. And we all heard what Kyle likes, cold hard cash, just from Scott.
Only from Scott.
But only from Scott, me.
Can I add one more
Scott
comment?
Bucks.
Sure.
So just as an encouragement, and I don't think this is self-serving because I don't know how many people in my church actually listen, but, you know, be thankful for your local pastor. In today's world of a celebrity culture, you know, John Piper, John MacArthur, these guys are not going to be present with you during the ups and downs of your life. They're not praying for you. They're not weeping with you. They don't care if your children are born. You know, local pastors invest in your lives. And there's so much to be thankful for of a local pastor.
They don't answer your call at 12 at night or 1 a.m. when, you know, something's gone wrong.
Right.
So do that. Appreciate your pastor this month. Don't do it just this month, but maybe take a little bit of a special effort this month to show your local pastor how much you appreciate them. Well, we do thank you for joining us on another episode of 3GT. We love to hear feedback from you. You can do that by writing us at 3GT.xyz@gmail.com. I got it right that time, didn't I?
Yes.
All right.
And the people
thank you.
Rejoice. Good work.
We are not to push the money thing, but we are listener funded. So if you'd like to donate, you can do that as well. So until next time, and on behalf of the great Kyle Borg and Barry York, the great pastors and reverends and presidents. We thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Scott.
I am incredible. It's true. I hope that gets edited out. That's going to sound terrible.